Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast, and I'm Kojo Bento Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In this episode, my guest, Nomasonto Ndlovu, CEO of the Limpopo Tourism Agency and astute marketer, discusses the strategies deployed by the tourism agency to restart tourism in South Africa's northernmost province.
Good afternoon, Sonto Ndlovu from Limpopo.
Good afternoon, Coach. How are you?
Very well. Welcome to the Tourism Podcast. And good to be having you. So those of you who don't know Sonto Ndlovu, she's the CEO of the Limpopo Tourism Agency. And she's, I think she's going to introduce her own self. Tell us about yourself. Normally it would be the end of the thing, but now I'm using it.
Tell me. Okay, so yes, my name is Sonto Ndlovu. I am the CEO of Limpopo Tourism Agency, which is a tourism board in the northern province of South Africa called Limpopo. I've been on that job for almost 3 years now. But, before joining there, I mean, I come from Durban, which is a lot of people, some people don't know that I'm from
Durban. Is it
then? Born bred from Durban, which is the coastal city of a very beautiful city in South Africa. And I did my education there. I went to the local schools there. I grew up in a township called Ntuzuma, which is near Kwamashu. A lot of people will know Kwamashu. And so I grew up in the township. And in the 80s, there was a lot of, political activity in the townships at that time. Luck as it would have, I managed to get to university. I mean, getting to university was a big deal, after coming from the township schools and, having been part of, what the political activism that was going on at the time. Then I went to University of Natal, which is in Durban. And then from there, I actually, I call myself an accidental marketeer because marketing was never part of what I had in mind. You know, like any young black South African growing up during the struggle times, we wanted to become doctors and lawyers and,
the fanciful jobs, like all the big titles.
Exactly. Those were the jobs.
Yes.
But as it happens is that I get into the university. And that the university, when they're doing the, the companies come around to recruit, for the organization, I get a job with Unilever, completely accidental because I never planned it. And I always say, we had a bet with a friend of mine and I said to her, watch, I'm gonna get a job with Unilever. And literally, I just went for it. I got the job. And that's when I then got into marketing. I got into Unilever. As a graduate trainee, I started my career there and I built my marketing career, spending over 10 years in South Africa, working on various of the brands, including their global brands. I had a chance to be on secondment. I went to Kenya. I stayed in Kenya for 3 years as an expert there. Fantastic experience. I always say that was probably a defining moment for me in terms of just my personal development because I learned so much in Kenya. I learned so much about myself. I learned so much about, Africa, African people, because I think in South Africa, we were very much in a closed situation, and I wasn't exposed. I had never traveled overseas or abroad or wherever. So I left the country to go and live in Kenya, and that happened to be my best experience, and I really, really loved it. So I then got into marketing in that particular way. But tourism also became another accident because I didn't plan to get into tourism. I was in Unilever. I was comfortable, spent 10 years there. And somehow I got this opportunity to go to KZN Tourism on secondment by Unilever. Very long story, but it happens that there's an agreement between Unilever and Tourism KZN. They were looking for a marketeer from Unilever because they believe that Unilever is like the school of marketing, and they want somebody from Unilever to help to really build the KZN brand, the Zulu Kingdom brand. And there I was saying, you know what, I've been here 10 years, maybe I could give this one a chance. And in Unilever, the way that we were schooled was that, you know, marketing, it doesn't matter what you market. Once you know marketing, you can market a fridge to an Eskimo, or you can market anything. And literally, that's how I then get into KZN Tourism as a GM for the marketing. But on a 2-year secondment, and just testing the water, seeing if this thing could work. So I get into tourism. And as it happens, tourism bug bites you. And you never really want to leave tourism. So I got into tourism, really enjoyed, you know, because you feel like you're an ambassador of your country, especially when you're going abroad, when you're going to other countries, and you're going to talk about your country to other people who don't know. And I then fell in love with tourism, and that's how I then jumped into tourism. But I've been very lucky that I've worked at KZN Tourism, I've worked at SA Tourism, where I got an opportunity to head up the business tourism, the global business tourism unit at the time. Now it has transformed to the National Convention Bureau. And I've now worked for the province of Limpopo. So I've accidentally gained this provincial and national and global tourism experience that has allowed me to utilize my marketing training from Unilever. There's the classical marketing approach to tourism, which is something which I found that it is unique. So sometimes I'm called the marketing expert, or the tourism marketing expert, or the tourism expert, but it's all accidental, just in terms of how I got into it. I never planned any of it. Clearly God planned it, but it's happened and I've enjoyed it. So that's how I then end up in Limpopo. And also being in Limpopo, I sort of felt that, you know, let me give this an opportunity, because, you know, everybody wants to be in the 6 cities, as it were, in the Cape Town or Joburg or Durban. When it goes to these rural kind of provinces, the so-called good marketeers, they don't want to go there. So I said, no, actually, let me do it. Because I always found that I'm always this person who wants to go up against the grain and do something that hasn't been done. And others, when they say it can't be done, I want to do it. So that's how I then end up in tourism. And then I've enjoyed being in Limpopo. Fantastic destination, diverse culture.
We'll come to Limpopo, but that's very, you know, illustrious journey in marketing and tourism. And obviously, you know, tourism itself is marketing, and you know, and so you were prepared very well from the private sector into also public administration. So it looks as if you have, you know, you had a good balance to push where you're from now. Now, so how are you managing the coronavirus, you know, from the standpoint view of a provincial tourism board, you know, and then your own self we're all zoomed in or zoomed out at some point in time, and all of that. Give us a sense of how things were.
Sure. Look, coronavirus has been quite an eye-opening experience, I think, for a lot of us. As a DMO, you know, we found ourselves having to take a step back and look at, you know, what are we doing? What is our relevance? Because remember, everything closed down. And we have defined our jobs in line with the industry being active. Because our role is to facilitate tourism for the sector to benefit. So when the sector is closed down, what are you marketing? What are you saying to people? So it was one of those things that challenged us to really rethink our role as tourism marketing organization, and not just us, you know, with other similar bodies as well. So we spent a lot of time engaging the sector, engaging the other bodies, you know, like South African Tourism, the Department of Tourism, our provincial Department of Tourism, and also just understanding what are the challenges, what is required, what are people thinking out there, not necessarily the travelers, but the industry itself, because without the supply side, you don't have tourism. So we were concerned with that. So we spent a lot of time engaging, and also at a national level, you'll recall, there were a lot of different relief packages that were made available. So even tourism had its own package in terms of how the tourism businesses could benefit. So we were helping, we were facilitating, we were engaging, we were advising, because also people would just want to have a conversation to say, what do I do now? Do I close down my staff? Don't have anything to eat, what do I do? So we had to take a different outlook completely. Okay. It's not really about the brochures, or it's not really about, the billboards or whatever. It's now become a human thing. So that was the most part that we spent. But at the same time, we were now developing the recovery plan, because there was very much a clear need to say, how do we then recover from this? How do we then recover after all of this has gone, this new normal? How are we going to be going forward?
Now, of course, South Africa had one of the, the hardest, or if I may call it, the very strictest lockdowns. And in terms of the grassroots, i.e. the provincial level, tourism players and all of that, what kind of measures did the agency, the Limpopo Tourism Agency, put in place to help them to at least manage from that level?
Like I said, a lot of it was through engagement, because once we understood what were the challenges, then we could sort of point them to the right direction. But one of the basic things that we found was that a lot of our products or establishments, especially the SMMEs, were not ready for this digital way of Yes, no. Because it's almost like it was forced to people, and they had to overnight rejig their businesses. Everybody was talking about virtual tours. People were talking about, being digital presence. What do I do? So we found ourselves having to play that advisory role of how to, what do you do? How can you be assisted during this period? Look at that. Look at doing that. But also, one of the things that we were quite careful not to do was to becoming tone deaf. Because remember, as government employees, there was always this feeling that, these people have got their comfy jobs, so they don't care about what's going on. So we had to be, to manage that whole area, the whole thing around making sure that we are not tone deaf, we are quite sensitive. We cannot just be blasting the airwaves with tourism pictures as if nothing has happened. So we had to manage our messages, but avail ourselves to supporting them, to say what we can do. And then we are busy with the recovery plan. I remember at some point we had an engagement with the whole provincial tourism sector, where we're looking at, this is what is going on. This is our new reality. We need to then together contribute to saying what should be in the recovery plan. So they gave us a lot of their inputs, what they're thinking, because it became quite important that the collaborations had to happen, because you could not do things as government alone, and the sector could not do things as the sector alone. So collaboration was quite important.
But now, yes, obviously, before Wednesday's announcement, then now you started from level two in terms of domestic tourism and interprovincial tourism. What did you learn? What is that one thing that you think that would impact on the restart that you began in Limpopo, and you know, in terms of the products, in terms of how you want to put the market out there? How have you started with the restart, having in mind what had happened and what would inform the new strategy, you know, in going to the market, domestically and in the international outlook?
So we've had to quickly make sure that there's a strong understanding that domestic tourism is going to be the way for quite a while. And we know that there are also products in our province who have been very much focused on the international marketing. So one of the things that we did, we said when we didn't know when the reopening or even level two was going to happen, when we didn't know when the local will actually be opened, we started to say to the industry, we are working on a recovery plan, give us your domestic specials, because we want to be able to, the minute it all opens up, we need to blast the airwaves with some of the specials. And the whole thing is around making sure that people find traveling within the provinces value for money, affordable, something within reach. So we started engaging them from a point of view of whatever pricing you think you had prior to COVID-19, rethink, come up with a deal that we can be able to publish the minute there is some kind of announcement. And the minute the ministry came out with this intra-provincial, we said, go and visit your local attraction, go and visit your backyard. There was a strong message on pushing that. But then coming into the opening of the, you know, we can now travel within the provinces, that became quite an exciting thing as well, because we found that people have been at home. They've been dying to get into the bush, into, you know, spaces of tourism. So those same specials, they helped us now to say, come to Limpopo. I mean, I saw products that normally, you know, I wouldn't even think of going there, really slashing their product, their prices, really saying to people, you are welcome to book. And they've been trying to do that. And now, with the announcement this week, it's just gone crazy. It is fully booked. You can't get in anyway. So it looks like that kind of messaging has worked. There is a realization that domestic tourism is going to be the important driver. Because once you get the locals to travel our provinces, they are going to become the ambassadors. So they will never stop again. So if we get this right, it's going to change, it's a game changer for domestic tourism.
But again, from the suppliers and from the hoteliers and the tour operators, do you think that it's part of their new strategy, or they just have to come up with something, you know, in those difficult times? Because we've seen other articles and people sharing concerns that, is it the case that, of course, people are not traveling again. And I saw an article in Kenya that says that when citizens were seen as second-class citizens and there was some level of apathy. So in your engagement with them, do you think it's an honest conversation or a strategy to say that going forward, it will be part of their system to make sure that, you know, they are not susceptible to shocks with something like the virus or attacks or something? Is it something for real?
No, from my conversations with the industry partners, it looks like people have been hard hit, you know.
Yes,
and remember,
sure,
the COVID-19 did not choose color of your skin, type of your business.
There's no playbook.
No. So COVID was like, it was just going for everybody. So from my conversations, it's been that, you know what, we actually have no choice. We have to drive domestic tourism. I was in a product in one part of the Limpopo last week in Hoedspruit. They told me, you know, straight that they are trying now to understand the domestic market because they find that they don't understand it as well as they have understood the international market. I mean, for example, the domestic market, they are surprised that people phone on Thursday and they say, I'm coming on Friday. Internationally, people, they book, they have forward bookings, and then they sit and they relax. So they are changing their ways and they are changing their whole approach. And they were saying to me, they are pleasantly surprised at how people, even coming out of the pandemic, have got money to spend on holidays. And my feedback to them was, remember that South Africans have been traveling abroad for the longest time because they see other destinations, you know, like Mauritius and Bali and Thailand as sort of cheap destinations. So they've been saving money to travel. This year, I have got a few people who called me directly and said, I had money to go to Bali, I've saved it, where do I take Limpopo? So the people, the travelers are there wanting to travel. They've worked the whole year, they've been tired of the pandemic, they want to travel. So there is some kind of commitment to driving domestic tourism from what I've seen. I've also been engaging with the TBCSA, which is the tourism business
right company. People, yeah.
Yes, and they are also saying, look, they have been sending this message to their members to say, guys, life has changed. We better change with the times. And in our trying to talk to the trade as well to say, you need to pivot, you need to try and adapt and change to be part of what's going on. So that message has landed. You do get a few products that even are still closed. Let's say they are waiting for the international market. We don't know how long that will last.
Of course.
But I know that it's not going to last forever, and people are going to have to rethink, the strategies in terms of that. So, answer: yes, there is, but we still have to do more work to convince others who are still left behind and not thinking domestic is king at this point in time.
Now let's get to Limpopo. And personally, you've been credited for a lot of the things, in terms of the activity, the activation of Limpopo Tourism Agency, and you introduced or you saw new things like sports, as part of your tourism drive. Can you tell us how you wanted to diversify the tourism offering there, and also get the province to be one of the most sought after destinations in South Africa?
So when I got to Limpopo, I quickly realized one thing, which was, first of all, they don't have the kinds of budgets I've dealt with in my marketing career. I mean, if I think about budgets in Unilever or budgets, the same project, they're not there. You know, you are looking at a very, very small budget, but the opportunity that I found was that the destination itself does not need a lot of work. There's a lot that is there in the province. The only challenge is that it's like a South Africa's best kept secret. Like, people just don't know. And those who go there, they are so quiet about it. They're like, oh my gosh, we're gonna tell the world about it. So I said, well, we need to implement a very simple tactic. Just get people to talk about Limpopo. Let's get the Limpopo on the lips of the people. And that's what we've done. But one area that we found was good for us was the area of sports tourism, because we've got a golfing belt in Limpopo, in an area called Waterberg, where there's quite a few sort of golf products. And we said, well, fantastic. Golfers travel, they want to go play minimum 4 days in a different course every other time, and when they're there, they want to play 3-4 courses. It's just what golfers do. So we said, no, this is fantastic. So we have actually made sure that we create activities that can help us to leverage on what we have. These are sports activities, cycling tour that we've created as well, which we are using those activities. They're sports activities, but for us, the real reason we're doing them is just to use them to showcase the destination. And what we also wanted to do was that those kinds of sports, you know, if you look at cycling, if you look at golf, the type of clientele for those is a high-paying customer.
Yes.
Because we want people to come and drop dollars in Limpopo, we want them to spend money in the province, and you find people getting into a bush lodge, staying there 7 days. They haven't really spent much apart from food and accommodation, and game drives. So we wanted to find other things in terms of lifestyle, and that can help in doing that. And we found that that has worked for us quite successfully. And we're going to continue to do that. It's just that now with the COVID, we've also had to relook at our strategy for the year in terms of our plans, what we can and can't do given the restrictions. But in the next few years, these are the areas that the province is going to be capitalizing on. Mm.
Okay, excellent. Now, this year is this year's theme for the World Tourism Day is tourism and rural development. Okay, I mean, I don't know what to say, but if you look at the theme and Limpopo, what is that? I mean, it has strong linkages. And what is it that you want to do with it?
We've always said that Limpopo is a rural destination. I mean,
yeah.
Almost 80% of the province is rural, you know?
Yes.
So we've always said we needed to accept that and say we're not trying to be a Cape Town. We're not trying to be in some urban top city. We are what we are, which is a rural destination. We've got agriculture, we've got farms, we've got game farms, we've got this whole ecotourism thing going on, and that is what we have. But another layer that has been really nice is that Limpopo has got rich, rich, rich culture. We've got three diverse cultures. So we find that we are culturally rich, where you are able to experience the culture of the Limpopians, as I call them,
wow.
in their natural places. I mean, we have got a salt lake where local women cooperatives, they actually mine salt and they sell it in the area. And when you get there, they perform this whole cultural ritual, something you'll never see in any of the other cities you may visit. It is unique. On the other hand, you have got a Vembe, an area called Vembe, where we've got this vendor dance. It's called the Python dance. I mean, this is incredible. And these are the things that just make us unique. And we don't have to change it. We have to make them available to people. You would have seen that when we launched our tourism month. We took a tour to a route that is called the Ribola Art Route.
Yes.
Because within the whole space of art and culture, the artists from Limpopo are completely talented. And they have got beautiful, beautiful works that we are saying they don't need to move out of those spaces where they are. We need to bring the people to those spaces because those spaces are natural rural villages where if you bring in this tourism there, it starts to contribute to the economy and the job creation of those areas. So perfect choice for us is this theme because it talks to really who we are. We need to be embracing our rural destinations and bringing the tourists to see the authenticity of our destination.
But, do you also help them to understand that whatever that they are doing, you know, it forms part of the DNA of the city, of the town, of the province, and that they are core, integral part of why somebody ought to would travel to that destination. Because sometimes there's an apathy problem, and you know, people so also don't understand their roles.
Yeah. Look, obviously, it's not perfect. It's not like it to be. You know, if you've traveled abroad, you've gone to villages, we've got a lot of work to do to develop our rural towns or rural routes to make them really integral to the whole economic activity.
Yes.
Because if you could do that, then the answer to your it gives the answer to your question, because it suddenly becomes, you know, part and parcel of and the way of life in the particular individual area. So I think there's opportunity. There's a lot of work that can be done. You've seen some ideas about, you know, it needs to be branded, it needs to have an identity. There's a lot of opportunity that can come out of there. But what I like is the fact that it is there. I mean, you go to those villages. I mean, when I went to the pottery place, and I've been to other pottery places in Limpopo, those women, they're just having fun. They're just doing the pottery. It is something that they do out of passion. It is unmasked. It is not sugar-coated. They're just doing their thing. And you go there and they show you. So I've said, one of the things that I'm going to try and push, you know, is that we bring in mice into the space. Because if, imagine if you get the Unilevers of this world to come bring their teams to do team building, to learn how to make pottery. Come make your own pot, take it home. Fantastic ideas. So there's a lot of work that we still need to do, but the basics are there. The women are there, the community is there, these natural assets are there. I mean, they take the clay from the river and it's always there, and they make this beautiful pot, and then they paint over them. It's absolutely, it's lovely. And I saw that, you know, there were some ideas of using the same clay. They do some filters, water filters, using this clay. I mean, so, you know, you could build on this idea, you could bring in innovations, you could do so much to really grow this area. You go to the music guy, you go to the sculptures guy, you go to the guy who used scrap metals to actually make his art, completely out of this world. So I think there's great opportunity. We need to really internalize this concept, and if it can carry on, not just for the tourism month, it's really challenging us to think outside the box and say, how do we do this? And we managed to take some tour operators, some media to the area to say, help us to package this into a package that can be sold and can be popular for tourists coming into that area.
What would be your advice in wrapping up? What would be your advice to provincial tourism authorities, regional, in different countries, in terms of, you know, managing or driving tourism development?
Sure. you're asking an accidental tourism.
Everything has been accidental for you, from marketing to tourism to that. So, yeah,
Yeah, but I think the one critical thing for me is that we need to really embrace what we have, because we have quite a lot. And if we can just embrace what we have and say we have a lot, and how do we then build from that, instead of trying to copy or mimic other places. We are Africa, especially on the African continent. We've got some amazing cultures or amazing experiences that are unexplored. So I think that is quite important. But I think also with the COVID-19, what it has really asked us to do is to relook how we have defined our work out there. So our work may no longer be about putting out pretty posters and putting them in the magazine. Maybe, so there has to be a level of innovation that we actually apply in approaching our tourism, both from marketing point of view and development, if you talk about destination development, because COVID-19 has showed us flames, has showed us a whole different way. So, but I think we need to be true to what we have and who we are, and only talk to those. I got a call today from Tanzania, and they would like to do cultural exchange with Limpopo. And for me, that is the ultimate, because it is exactly what I wrote about, I think, in the one article where I said, this give us the opportunity.
A cultural, yes, I remember.
Tourism.
Exactly.
Let us travel to go and learn about another culture in Africa. I don't know what Gambians do. I don't know what is their culture. Do they know what to do? So it is a great opportunity. So I think we've got a chance to really embrace what we have and push what we have and not wait for the internationals to come and appreciate what we have.
We need to celebrate ours.
Everybody says charity begins at home, but they are quick to go to New York on a holiday.
Yeah, but also, you have to also understand that there are a lot of factors that in itself can inhibit, it can prevent people from doing that, price sensitivity. Because a friend of mine was telling me that, listen, she lives in Cape Town, and she can travel to Bali or, go to Mauritius with the same amount of money, and it's even much more expensive sometimes in South Africa. So it's a whole thing that I'm hoping that, the players and operators will be able to understand and do something about it. Now, as we wrap up, what do you do for your leisure, your flexi time? Because you're very also active. Huh? One of the very active people on Twitter and on social. Tell us.
So I play golf. Okay. That is something that I play for years. Not good at it, but I just love it because golf gives you a chance to compete with yourself, to test yourself and test your patience levels. I mean, you've got a small little ball, you're trying to chase around, it just does not listen to you. But it's also a good game for mind training, so I love it. And it's something that I've played whenever I have time, weekends, when I can. Golf is my thing. But I've also got two boys. So these are the people that they define what I do most of the time. So because of the boys, I look for activities where we can all go together and just have fun, because I can't even go on holiday and just think it's about me. It's not about me. They tell me where to go. They tell me in Limpopo what are the best lodges that we should go to. So I have to find time and space for my boys. I wanted them to join golf with me, but they're not. The one likes soccer, the other one, I call him a geek. He likes this IT kind of stuff. He says he likes artificial intelligence. But the recent hobby that I got into, and thanks to COVID-19, if I can say that, is running. I literally started running in May, and I've never stopped, and I'm really, really enjoying it. But what I also realized, when I started running in Limpopo, in these villages, you see so much that you never see when you're driving. So I get into this lodge in the morning, I just run around the village. It is absolutely amazing. So now I make sure that I run as much as possible, and that keeps me sane and takes up a lot of my time. So yeah, so I think those are the ones I can mention for now.
No, that's fine. I mean, obviously, we can't, we can't end this conversation without talking about, the home of Jerusalem, the fact that it's from Limpopo, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, let me tell you, I said to you, Limpopo has got this rich culture. And this is culture, when you really stretch the word culture and arts and culture. We started, if you remember, Shoma Josie just blew everybody out of, this world when she just went global, just like that, with John Cena and that whole, remember, I think about a year ago. As we are thinking, we are recovering from, the whole Shoma Josie euphoria, now there comes Jerusalem, Master KG. So we have been so excited about, I must not forget the choir. So you can just get an idea.
Imagine.
Of the talent that comes from that province. And you can go on. There's a lot of talented people that are there. Some have left, but they still remember home. Master KG has just been a COVID-19 success story.
Yes, you know? One of the heroes, I mean, yeah.
So we're very excited, we're very proud of his achievement. And I think coming now to level one, I think it is still going to be, it's going to go global once again, because now he may have the opportunity to go and perform at various international gigs. So I always say that Limpopo continues to save the country, because you know, we've got very talented people that have come from there, from a political leadership point of view, ministers and governors and all of that. On the one hand, you've got entertainers, endless list, very talented people coming from Limpopo. But Limpopo is a food basket of South Africa. So we feed the country as well. So whilst at it, we give them bananas, we give them marula, marula drinks, yeah. And marula. There's a lot of things that come from Limpopo. You know, then we've got our platinum. You know, so we've just been a province that is there to really save South Africa. We've got really some amazing things coming out of there, from agriculture to tourism, to then the people and the culture. Like I've said, really an amazing destination. And I know that in the next few years, if we build on this momentum that we've created right now, it can only go one way, and that is going up. So it's quite exciting. I mean, soccer, we've got three teams that are in the PSL.
Yeah.
So I mean, our teams are also, you know, in the PSL. They haven't done so great, but I think we'll build on that. But even just that presence, it also gives hope that, you know, there's so much going on in that province that we need to talk about, and make sure that the world can come and see
more to enjoy and more to explore.
The fact that in South Africa, you need to, once you've done, you know, like the typical routes, you know, maybe you've done the Cape Town, you need to now come to Limpopo. I said to people, Limpopo is the home of the Kruger National Park. They say, no way. I say, yes, of course. They've been coming to the Kruger for a long time. Not knowing they're coming to the Kruger. So those are some of the stories that we just need to build on, and make sure that people make the link and they can be able to come and enjoy, because of course
there's more to enjoy, like you say, more to enjoy Limpopo. Nomasonto Ndlovu, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Coach, for having me. I really have enjoyed this. Thank you so much.